T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Good afternoon, everyone. How's everybody doing? Thank you for everyone being on the line. I'm here to discuss and take questions regarding the number of positive cases within the Buffalo Fire Department. Also going to discuss our workforce monitoring program, and as well as the number of folks that we have on administrative leave. So I'm going to explain what all that means and what implications it does or doesn't have. So having said that, I'll just open it up for questions.
Hi, this is, can you hear me?
Yes,
I
can.
Is it working? Okay, great. Hey, Commissioner, it's Maki Becker with the Buffalo News. Can you confirm that there are indeed 14 firefighters who have tested positive and 50 on it who have symptoms on administrative leave?
Actually, the number is 16. And we have 16. We actually had one member hospitalized for a short time. He's being discharged today. We just started the phone with him a short time ago. As of this morning, 56 members on administrative leave. If you subtract the 16 that tested positive, we actually have 40 right now who are on administrative leave. And let me just expand on what that administrative leave is. First of all, we have, and I want to touch on our workforce monitoring program, which I'm not sure that the media is aware of. So when our firefighters report to duty in the morning at 0800, as most of you know, we're on a 24-hour shift. They're asked a series of questions. We have a thermometer on hand to test for fever. You know, they may think they have symptoms, may not think they have symptoms, but in order for them to enter work and actually work for that 24-hour shift, they have to, you know, basically pass through that gate, answer a series of questions, take their temperature if we think they need to. If at any time at that 0800 time, if anyone is we feel is symptomatic or has any illnesses that is consistent with the virus, they're sent home on administrative leave. All right, they're tested again. All members are tested again at 6 o'clock that evening. So they're tested twice within a 24-hour period. Anyone who displays any signs or symptoms of the virus, whether it's, you know, it may be just a typical illness, whatever, we're just being abundantly cautious, and we're sending them home on administrative leave. Administrative leave means, based on our 24-hour schedule and then our 5 days off, they're off an average of 7 days, which is basically around self-isolation. They're not ordered on self-isolation, but according to the Department of Health, that is what is recommended, that they self-isolate for 7 days. And if they're clear of any signs or they're asymptomatic the last 72 hours of those 7 days, they're eligible to come back to work. So even though we have 40 individuals currently on administrative leave, all of them, including our members that tested positive, have a back-to-work date. For instance, tomorrow, four of those members are scheduled to come back to work because they're asymptomatic or they tested positive and they've been given a back-to-work date by the Department of Health.
Commissioner, this is Dave McKinley from Channel 2 News. Commissioner, I'm wondering, because these guys occupy a firehouse and one of them is in there and they found out that they got sick and then they all might have been exposed, are there any firehouses currently closed because of this?
There are no firehouses closed. We're at 100% strength. We're answering all our calls. There's actually no danger to the public at large. And let me just piggyback on that. We have the city, Department of Public Works, and through the administration, has hired several cleaning contractors. and we're sending to all of our firehouses on a regular rotation, or a deep cleaning is occurring, just to lower the anxiety factor of our firefighters and their families, and to make sure that they're in a healthy, healthy and safe work environment. And we're also targeting at-risk firehouses, at-risk meaning that anyone who tested positive who worked there in the past, we're using the epidemiology that the Department of Health is using. We're just tracing back to see where those members work, and we're targeting those firehouses for some extra cleaning as well.
But none of them are closed.
Dave, any follow-up? Dave, you have a follow-up?
I do. Thank you, Mike. So the protocol is not necessarily to close a firehouse, even though someone that may have been working there was tested positive?
No, not at all. Not at all. We have no firehouses closed whatsoever. Anyone who tested positive, just to reiterate, has been given a back-to-work date by the Department of Health. So if that member is back to work, they've already been quarantined, they've already self-isolated, and they're currently asymptomatic, and that's how we're keeping our workforce intact.
David, anything else, or are you good?
How many of those firehouses are targeted for this extra activity, sir?
We have 6 to 7. Actually, we just have a 7th one identified where one of our individuals that tested positive may have worked there over the last week or so. So 7 is our number as we speak.
Thanks, Dave. George Ricker, Channel 4. George, are you there? How about Ed Riley, Channel 7?
I'm here, Mike and Commissioner. First of all, you know, with these people sick, if you continue to see more numbers of people getting sick, what is your plan going forward?
First of all, we have a plan, and we're executing that plan, and we have no desire, we have no need to change that plan going forward. Actually, our numbers of admin leave are actually going down. It's a downward trend as we speak. We only had one additional person go on admin leave today. And once again, this is an overabundance of precaution. Right? We're sending people home who have the sniffles, have a cold, have a sinus infection, things like that, just to be overly cautious. So that number of 40 that I referred to earlier, like I said, those people are going home over an abundance of caution. We're sending them home. We just don't want ill firefighters in the firehouse when they're ready to come back. If they're asymptomatic, they have a back-to-work date, and we're confident that our plan is working.
Ed, before a follow-up, if you have one, I'm going to ask Dr. Bart to maybe jump in right there on this point, and maybe from a medical standpoint, Doctor, if you could give a little context to all of this.
Sure. So there's a few different strategies that we looked at. I think the first one, to answer the question directly about procedures and operational changes that we might have to make, as the commissioner said, we're looking at it every day, and obviously things change even from minute to minute sometimes. To make an operational change on behalf of the fire department shouldn't be a momentary reaction. So we've had conference calls every day amongst the ranks for the administrative side and amongst the chiefs to determine what our triggers for the next operational deployments are going to look like. In particular, because it's part of this conversation, I think germane to this, is that if we experience either a huge influx and surge of calls from the 911 system, or we had a huge decrease in our workforce and availability to respond, or a healthy combination of the both. If those were the situations, we do have plans on how we're going to perhaps modify some of our strategies. And in particular, the use of alternate response vehicles to do a lion's share of our EMS. For the medical side of it in general, if a member, and again, granted, the health department has the ability to do the testing, we never had that ability. So we had to look at this, and this is not a policy that was started within the past 24 hours, something we've been operationalizing at least for the past 10 days. To allow an administrative leave on behalf of somebody says they don't feel well. And we're not scrutinizing what feel well does. What we're essentially saying is that we know that we work 24-hour shifts, and having somebody doesn't feel well, with maybe symptoms that might be exhibiting from COVID. If that's indeed the case, we allow them the opportunity to administratively stay home. Almost no questions asked there, with some follow-up, of course, from the administrative side on expectations, and then certainly checking in on them to make sure they're doing well. That was one group, and we've been managed to get a fair amount of people who feel like they might have been exposed or having mild symptoms just simply not report in the first place. And I think strategically, from a medical perspective, that's a giant advantage for us. On behalf of the test results that we're seeing, it's not as if we're surprised by any of that. The people that are on the list of test results that came back positive abundantly are almost identified ahead of time and have not been in contact with anybody that was at work. On behalf of them being symptomatic is why they were maybe having tests in the first place with the health department. The other potential, as the commissioner discussed here, is because we are on 24-hour shifts, is that we need to monitor the workforce throughout the 24-hour shifts, understanding somebody might come in, be feeling okay, and then sometimes within 24 hours they could start exhibiting symptoms. So we have an additional policy set into place there for monitoring the workforce and the ability to send them home on that same administrative leave.
I do have a follow-up question too. Okay. Ed, if you have something.
Yes, just, you know, from the public, you know, they're going to hear this news and they might be a little nervous about, you know, coming in contact with a firefighter. What would you say to them about this situation?
I think that's a great question. That certainly would be my perspective too. Understanding that if you're calling 911 looking for help, you're expecting somebody to be able to respond. And in the response to that, that's exactly the duty that we're trying to make sure that we're operating from the commissioner's office up here on in regards to these recommendations. We would wholeheartedly agree that anybody who is not fit for work based off of their potential for transmitting disease, not only just based off of the public safety concerns, but that member needs to be at home healing. And not necessarily available to take calls. Now, we have to look at that constructively, too, because if that number starts to enlarge, we have to pay very close attention to that to suggest, is there a different operational change we need to make? We have instituted medical policy. So I'll give you that from the EMS side, because that's the majority of my job. The fire department, like every other EMS agency out there right now, is going to have a pretty wide lane of expecting that people complaining of cold, flu symptoms, you know, passing out, sinus congestion, even chest pain that seems abnormal. And we're going to approach them from a 6-foot distance and determine, do we need to put on extra masks? We offer the patients a mask as a source patient. And we essentially conduct our interviews from a safe distance when that seems reasonable for patient care. So on behalf of those strategies, we've already instituted that policy probably about 2 weeks ago, suggesting that we need to change the way we do business and respond to EMS so that we can continue to do the best amount of care, but also make sure that we're able to respond to everybody's needs. We know that we have a high specific exposure. It's just a given.
Ed, any follow-up on that, or are you good?
No, that's fine. Thank you.
Spectrum?
Hey, Mike, yep. I'd like to make a piggyback on what the doc just had to say.
Sure. All right,
just to make it clear to everyone on the call, fire department is at 100% strength. We're responding to every call we're dispatched to. The public should be aware of that. They should know that. They can call down 911 at any time, and we'll be there. We have a great plan in place. We update it, you know, every time there's any updates. Dr. Barks right on board, giving us medical updates, changing our protocol as required. But as I said at the beginning of the call, we have a plan. We're executing the plan, and we're confident the plan is working.
Thank you, Commissioner.
If you want accurate and timely information, you're only going to get it from one place, and that's from my headquarters.
Thank you, Commissioner. We'll get to everyone's questions. Spectrum, do you have any questions for the Commissioner, Dr. Barr?
Yeah, this is for the commissioner. Could you kind of go into what Protocol 36 entails for firefighters? Like, can they enter someone's home when they call and say they're experiencing these symptoms, or does a resident need to come to the door? We've heard some, you know, conflicting information from viewers that have called in. So just if you can kind of, like, run through what that would entail.
Sure. Well, we're asked for the person to stay in his home, in his or home, her home, to the extent possible. So we'll come to the door. Our firefighters will have a N95 mask on. They'll have another mask to put on the prospective patient. We'll keep our 6-foot distance. That's what we're operating under, 6-foot distance. Of course, our firefighters will be in full PPE, whether it's Tyvek, gown, goggles, gloves, everything that's required to operate safely. And at that point, they'll just, if the person is able to speak, they just exchange information from a distance. That's part of our protocol, and that's how we're keeping the patient safe and our firefighters safe as well.
Perfect.
Yeah. And we just, Dr. Bart, real quickly, can explain what Protocol 36 actually is. So go ahead, Doc.
Yeah, and this is totally educational for everybody. So it's the system for EMS is, it's not designed, sir. I call 911 and I give an address and we send a bunch of people over there. There's a whole strategic protocol that goes into place of interrogating a phone call to determine what resources need to be sent there. Protocol 36 is part of something called ProQA, which is MPDS is the dispatch platform that's used to interrogate call takers. So think of this as chest pain, trouble breathing, seizures, motor vehicle accidents, any of that stuff has a different protocol card. The card is just the page number. Protocol 36 specifically is for pandemic viral illnesses and influenza related illnesses. This is new. It's new for us, I should say. It's not a new protocol. The city of Buffalo has not normally used that protocol, but seeing the writing on the wall from other communities around the state and around the country, we decided to have a partnership call with Erie County, who does all of the interrogation on behalf of 911 EMS calls. And of course, AMR is our partner on response to determine how do we best identify these calls. So the suggestion of Protocol 36 isn't just a buzzword. What it says to us is that if we can screen the calls ahead of time to get maybe better information on behalf of AMR and Buffalo Fire and responding police units sometimes, we can better provide information to our crews so that they can understand that this patient may have symptoms related to the virus. Is it perfect? No. What it does do for us, though, is that it's a code word out there that we're using on the radio to suggest to everybody else of this meets the metric of keep your distance of 6 feet and put your appropriate PPE on, which consists of eye protection, a mask, and gloves. Those sorts of things. And that is a universal message that's being dispatched between Buffalo Fire and AMR.
Perfect. Thank you. No, Mike, I'm all set. Thank you.
WBEN.
Hey, Mike, it's Tim Wenger. Commissioner, you mentioned that the department is at 100%. If there's a call, you'll be there. Obviously, very good to know, but I can imagine that there may be some firefighters on the ranks that aren't comfortable working under these conditions. I mean, what are the options firefighters might have if they don't feel comfortable in this environment with coronavirus?
Well, first of all, let me say that our firefighters are stepping up. Everyone. We have very few people calling in sick every day, very few people taking off on vacation, personal day, comp time. Everyone wants to be there. They realize that's what they signed up for, and they want to be out there. They want to be helping the public as much as they can. They realize it's their duty to show up for work. Obviously, there's a lot of anxiety. People have children, loved ones on the home front that they have to worry about. There's a little anxiety about, maybe bringing, being exposed and then bringing that back to their home, that kind of thing. But for the most part, people are compartmentalizing that. They're stepping up. They're doing their job, and they're doing what they're paid to do and they're expected to do. And I'm very proud of them for that.
Thank you, sir. Stay safe. That's all.
Thank you. Tim, thank you. WBFO?
Hello, Commissioner. I was a little bit late getting in on this conference call. If you could, again, just repeat the current numbers, confirmed cases, and those self-quarantined, please.
Yes, currently have 16 members tested positive and 40 individuals on administrative leave.
You said one of them was recently hospitalized, but should be discharged soon?
Actually, he's being discharged today. And just for your ratification, I think everyone else online knows what I explained what administrative leave actually means. Those individuals have not tested positive. We have a workforce monitoring program where individuals come to work at 0800 in the morning. They're tested. If they're showing any signs or symptoms or simply feel ill, we're sending them home for a period of 7 days of self-isolation, last 72 hours of which, if they're asymptomatic, they're allowed to come back to work. And they're tested again at 6 o'clock in the evening. So they're tested twice within the 24-hour period. Just giving that to you because you know, I mentioned it during the call, and sounds like you got on late. So just wanted you to have that information.
I appreciate that. I'm all caught up. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Let me something else too. Out of that 40 number, these are not all members that are on the line as well. These are members from other departments as well, from our dispatch office and other outlying departments. So that number does not all come from the field. All right. So that's 40 numbers, actually less. If you minus those individuals, actually less people affected on the line. Just want to put that out there.
Thank you. I'm going to ask Maki Becker. Did you have any follow-ups?
Yes, two things. Commissioner, I was wondering if I have heard that one of the clusters within the fire department involved the training center. Is that true? Did something, or has that been shut down, or can you talk about that? And then the other question, Mike, I'm just wondering, going forward, can you update us? You know, I know we've heard from the police several times, in terms of positive cases and what's going on. Can we include other departments too, like the fire department, just going forward?
Let me answer the part one of your question. The training bureau, the recruit class, which was in training out at the training academy, has been suspended.
Okay.
Because of the counties working out there, our people working out there. Social distancing, that kind of thing. So that recruit class is on hold. As far as training bureau personnel being involved, or a number of them being tested and being tested positive, there are some that are included in that number 16. But I mean, that's, I can go on that. I mean, if you take our department compared to say Chicago, New York City, we want to put out any. As far as where these cases are coming from, location, because it would be easy for people to connect the dots and say, hey, a bunch of cases came out of this location or that location. And once again, we don't want to raise the anxiety factor from our members and their families.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.